Press play, curtain up and now we're in. It's time to take a spin.
With shade and tea to spill.
Ooh, drama. Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book? Who got nom?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today? Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more. Drama.
Drama. Welcome to Drama, a podcast about theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life
in New York City. And the world.
At the world at large now, Haney.
Oh! What's the tea?
You know, it's so funny. Every week, now that we're doing this chat show version of Drama,
yes,
I think all the time, oh, what are we going to talk about? What are we going to do? And then as we like are getting ready to go ahead and hit record, there's too much to talk about.
I know.
And we obviously are constantly talking as we're quarantined in this home together.
Well, I know, but we could always talk forever.
And there's certain things that it's like, oh, we'll save it for the podcast.
Wait, I randomly just lost hearing in my right ear, and it's
very fun.
You know when that happens?
I know what you're talking about.
It's very like Lost season 5 when... Oh, wait. Do we keep talking about
this
Lost?
This is the second
this?
Week in a row that Lost is being discussed.
Why is it that when we're home, I think of like every repressed memory from high school, which includes binging Lost. But remember when the bomb went off? Was that season 5 finale? Okay, season 5 finale, the bomb goes off.
When Juliet...
The spoiler.
10 years later.
10-year-old spoiler. The bomb goes off, and then Juliet, unfortunately, doesn't make it.
She doesn't.
But it's season 6, opens with Kate. Remember, she doesn't have hearing, and like the sound in the episode is distorted. That's how I feel right now.
I feel as though they did that same effect in 1917.
Oh.
This past year.
Yeah.
Oh, I loved that movie.
I know. Wait, I've had Oscars on the brain this week.
Well, our friends Nick and Sophia recently launched an Oscar podcast.
Yes, Oscar Wilde.
Oscar Wilde, which is a brilliant play on words.
They got me thinking about something.
Okay.
And I've actually been thinking about it a lot, which I was going to bring this up later.
So what they did with, they reviewed one movie, Portrait of a Girl on Fire.
Lady on Fire?
This girl is on fire.
Little fires everywhere.
I know. So they did a review of that, and then they just started.
Which I didn't listen to yet, because I haven't seen the movie.
Right.
But apparently it's on Hulu now.
It is. But they also did a Oscars of the Decade, which is really cool. And I loved the way that they went about it, too. They had a special guest going on it. If you're a movie buff, I highly recommend going
Oscar Wilde. Or if you need it, just like slide into my DMs and I'll let you know when it is. Anyone, I'm asking for human interaction in any way.
Anyways, you said that it got you thinking about something.
Well, that combined with another podcast I was listening to, which like we'll get into, but last night, like bored, we had just watched something and I put on A Star Is Born, which is on HBO Go. Or HBO, whatever. And we watched the scene where a star is literally born when
The
scene from the trailer, which is Shallow, which I think was the moment of 2019, I think. But the movie is not perfect by any means, which I loved it when I first saw it. But I was like, wait, we lose Allie's POV about halfway through.
Right.
So is it really about her or is it about Jackson? And I think at this point, it is more so his story, and she just happens to be the star that's born that causes his star to fade.
That gives me chills.
I know. But okay, I was thinking about that scene where, you know, he's like, oh, come on, I'm gonna sing you a song.
And she's nervously off
stage.
She's
nervous.
And Anthony Ramos is like smiling.
Yes, Broadway's Anthony Ramos.
Yeah. Mm.
And he like plays, you know, he finishes Shallow and he comes on and they have this magical musical connection and she's so nervous and they sing together. It is literally incredible. And I haven't watched that scene in a while, and the sound and everything is different than what you would hear on like the radio version of Shallow or whatever. And Gaga's great, and so is Bradley. Bradley is amazing.
I was actually paying more attention to him this time because every time she's on screen, my eyes are glued to her.
Yeah, she has that star quality, which is why she was the perfect choice for the movie. And I will die on this hill.
I mean, no one else could have done it in 20 years when they reboot the A Star Is Born franchise again and with someone else in a different genre of music, people are going to remember this one very fondly.
I think so too. Even though, I mean,
it's modern
and I love most of the music. My biggest complaint with it just is that it's hypothetically about Allie, but Allie never has a last name, and until she becomes Allie Maine, I suppose. But like I said, we lose the character's POV halfway through the movie, so we never actually know how she feels about becoming a star.
Do you think that's why Gaga lost out on the Oscar?
I do, and that's what I was thinking about. I think that role. Could have been in the best supporting actress category.
Oh, I don't know.
And I think she could have won.
I don't know about that.
I think she could have won. I mean, look at other leading performances that have been supporting. Viola Davis in Fences.
Right.
That was the leading performance. And she had more to do than Gaga had to do in A Star Is Born.
Right. That was just political. And I guess if you're saying if they wanted to put it that way.
Right. And there's category fraud all the time with films when obviously like when there's two leading actresses.
Like with Carol.
That's my go-to. Rooney Mara and Cate Blanchett were, they split them. Even though I think it's kind of Rooney Mara's story.
This is really interesting. I wonder if there's any other cases in film history where this has happened. Because I don't think there can be an argument that she's not the lead actress.
She is lead actress, Gaga, but I think the content that's given to her could have qualified for supporting. Like my go-to thought here is Viola Davis in Fences, who won for supporting actress,
yeah,
and Alicia Vikander, who won best supporting actress
for the
Danish Girl, which she's the lead actress in that movie.
She is. Oh, she's so good in that movie.
So she's great. But I think Gaga did a great job with her acting in it. And
I think
that was the year of The Favorite, where of course there was the three women. Olivia Colman won best lead actress, and that was the year when it was kind of an upset that she won.
Well, because everyone was, it was Glenn Close's year, but
yeah.
Did you hear Glenn Close is pressuring filming to begin on the Sunset Boulevard movie?
Glenn is saying, She's saying, fuck coronavirus.
She wants to start by the end of the year. But honestly, like, that will be her Oscar, no matter what else comes out. And it's her time to finally get her Oscar. And I feel really good about her getting an Oscar for that movie, as opposed to getting a legacy Oscar for, what was that movie even called? The Wife?
The Wife.
The Widow.
So that was the year. Okay, so she was The Wife. And then in supporting, you had Emma Stone and Rachel Weisz for
The Favorite.
And Regina King won
for
If Beale Street Could Talk, which, a great performance, but I mean, it's truly a sporting performance, I suppose.
It fit the bill.
And then Marina de Tavira for Roma.
For Roma, and no one thought that anyone from Roma was going to get nominated. Yeah. That's right.
And I don't know. I think, like, Gaga had a great performance, but Jennifer Hudson was supporting for Dreamgirls and won the Oscar. And
right.
I think, like, if...
But Effie is supporting.
Yeah.
Ooh, but was Jennifer Holliday supporting her lead?
Good question. That is some Tony trivia. We don't know. But anyway, I think if Gaga had less fillers in her face, which no tea, no shade on the work she's had done. Like, I truly do not care about it. I think if she would have been able to emote a little bit more, I think she could have won the Oscar for Best Supporting Actress, because I do feel like it was a gag-worthy star turn. And I think, I don't know if Regina King had the material in Beale Street.
I mean, but the featured or supporting category, it can be anything.
I know. And there was that scene when I forget what country her character goes to.
Yeah. Is it somewhere in Mexico?
I forget.
I just did a quick check, and Jennifer Holliday did win for leading actress.
Leading actress. Mm-hmm. So look, there's category fraud.
Yeah.
Who would have thought? You know, it's April, and we're talking about Oscars.
I know. We're talking about an Oscars from last year.
I know, but I have Gaga on the brain, because she's truly doing more for our country right now than anyone else is.
Yeah, she is. She absolutely is.
You know, she said, I'm going to delay my album, and then she said, here's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Instead of an advertising and marketing rollout for Chromatica.
And she was serving full businesswoman glamour drag.
We did talk about this.
This whole thing, I mean, we're stuck in a time warp right now.
But anyway, love Gaga. I think she's amazing. And I think, why not? Why not give her the Oscar for Best Supporting Actress for A Star Is Born?
Okay.
I know. This is controversial.
This is also the first time you've shared this with me, and I just haven't had the time to wrap my head around it.
Well... Yeah.
So to answer the question,
we're moving on from A Star
Is Born. You're not well.
I'm not well. I'm not well at all. I'm not well. I'm about as well as Raven Simone and Keely Williams in their Instagram.
Oh my God.
Live.
I haven't seen, I don't know the whole story, but I do know that all I know from it is the clip of Raven softly cackling to herself while eating after the live stream ended.
Eating a sandwich.
Yeah.
Raven Simone's a legend.
Yes, and she's been in this business for as long as she's been alive.
Okay, this is me, like, making this up. I'm pretty sure she's the first black leading actress to have her own TV show on Disney Channel.
I mean, I can't think of anything else off the top of my head.
I know. She's amazing. She is so funny, and she's great.
Oh, especially the physical comedy that she did on That's So Raven.
Yeah, and now she has Raven's Home.
Right.
Which we're all at home now.
Yeah.
So I think the show is relevant. But, okay, so her and Keely Williams decided to hash out... They took to Instagram Live to hash out these years old.
So was this, were they just doing this reunion on Live, or were they actually just meeting up again?
I don't know if one of them joined the other ones live, but how cracked? that they were like, all right, we have some things to talk about. Because I think like one of them was talking about the other one on a separate live. And then, it was Keeley was on live with somebody else. And then Raven caught wind of it. And then they hashed it out on Raven's live. And mm-hmm. it is compelling.
So, like, okay. So what, give everyone who hasn't seen it the rundown.
Basically, Raven just kept saying, girl, you messy to Keeley. And Keeley was holding her child. And like the split screen, Raven is making a sandwich and Keeley is like holding a crying child who starts crying halfway through. And they're basically just talking about, you know, kind of where things went wrong. And Raven felt excluded from the group during the filming of Cheetah Girls 2.
And which is the Barcelona one.
And she reveals that like that's why her and Belinda got close. Like that's what
Belinda?
She Belinda, who plays Marisol,
the fifth girl of that movie.
The fifth girl.
Wait, this is all deranged.
It's so crazy. And
well, there's probably a reason why they weren't close, because after the first movie, in between the first and the second movie, if I'm not mistaken, the three of the Cheetahs toured together.
Wig.
With the exception of Raven.
Yes, because she was doing her own solo career.
Yeah, she had her own solo career and obviously was probably filming more That So Raven at the time. She also had a film
probably.
Career.
She did.
But so then they got together and then they did this movie on location.
Wait, three?
Two.
They did two on location.
Does Cheetah Girls 2 have a subtitle to it?
No, but three does.
Three is One World.
One World. Where they go to India. And in this live,
one
Raven.
World.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Live vocals. Raven's like, I felt so bummed that I missed out on India. She's like, my whole house is decorated India themed.
It's crazy. Me.
It's crazy.
Raven.
I know. But she's low key grown. And there's this insane moment where Raven's like, dude, you got to talk to Adrian. She's like, there's one thing you got to talk to
Adrian Bailon.
And then Keeley's like, no, I will not. Like, I cannot do this. Like, my dad died and she didn't come to the funeral. She never called me. And like, then she starts kind of like panicking in a way. And then Raven's like, take a deep breath, count to five. And like, you can see live, Keeley is like holding her baby. Like, she's also like laying down while holding the camera up. And she starts like taking deep breaths. And she's like, literally listening to Raven being like, let it go, girl, like just move on, like. And then Raven, this is like one of the most cracked parts of it that's not often talked about, Raven then tells Keeley, she's like, listen, my best friend didn't even invite me to her own wedding, and I set her up with who she married. And she's like, and we still talk, we're still chill. And I'm thinking to myself, what is going on? Like, what's the tea?
That's this thing about these reunions. I think that some of these stars should have just called up their friend privately and talked. And then it feels to me like an odd publicity stunt. I mean, what has Keeley Williams done since the movies and then released her ill-fated single Spectacular?
Oh my God. I'm glad that you remember.
Well, Adrian Carnani, my dear friend.
The other Adrian,
not Bailon. Always, it's like his party trick. If we're at a party or something and we start talking about the Cheetah Girls, he brings up this insanely foul music video that Keeley Williams released in an attempt at a solo career.
It was a flop.
I mean, it appears to have been filmed on a Razor phone with a shoestring budget, and the lyrics are awful. I'm not going to say them on live because I know that our parents listen to this podcast, and I don't want to say any of the filthy lyrics that they say.
Regardless, it is so cracked, and Raven is low-key grown in some ways.
Well, we've known that because she co-hosted The View.
She had some wild ass opinions though, Dylan.
I know, I watched every episode of that season.
Yeah, well, Michelle Collins was on it too.
Yes, my favorite
legend.
Comedian.
Honestly, a podcast inspiration, Michelle Collins.
Yeah, because she was one of the first podcasts that we really latched on to.
Yeah.
She did The Fresh Batch, and now she has her own SiriusXM show.
But one other thing I'll say is it was about the Cheetah Girls, which we've been talking about for so long, but it was a formative part of our culture, honestly, in middle school.
Yes. In fourth grade, I think we were.
Yeah. Oh, I guess it started that young.
When
we
it happened.
We were obsessed.
Oh, yeah.
It sounds like Sabrina Bryan is an unproblematic queen, though, who they've all stayed friends with.
I love that.
Yeah.
And she's had many attempts at being a star with two different botched runs on Dancing with the Stars.
I know, and she never got the credit she deserved.
She was already an amazing dancer, which was the issue about that show. And anyways,
one other thing I'll say is in this Insta Live, which I guess you need to go watch because it's
I'm
so
sure
good.
It's available on YouTube. Like people rip these things off and put them on YouTube or any other sites.
Keeley is like, well, I guess the movie would have done better if you were in it. And Raven's like, ooh, tea, like whatever. Like, because I guess the third movie
well,
flopped.
It was terrible.
And
I don't remember a single song except for the one I sampled earlier.
I do remember that Adrian Bailon got a solo number in it.
Oh.
And she was serving. But I don't remember.
The only plot point I remember is that one of the characters was haunted by elephants.
Yeah, I think it's Keeley Williams.
Which honestly felt insensitive considering elephants are a huge part of Indian culture.
No.
Oh, can we please move on?
We can move on. We can move on. But I will say the Instagram live pretty much ended with Raven being like, make amends with Adrian so we can be on a carpet together once. Do it for the reunion, which I was like, LOL.
Oh.
And then it cuts out and Keely leaves. And then this has become a meme.
Right.
But it's of Raven laughing, yes, eating a sandwich, being like, wow, okay. It is so iconic. And that is my, I'm about as well as that,
okay,
I would say.
That is a great wellness update.
Thank you. Thank you.
Wow. That I needed the context.
Yes.
For that, Shirley.
Cheetah Girls, incredible. What a moment. Wow, what a moment. Ah, that's history. That's history.
I'm not well either.
Oh, yeah, Dylan, are you well?
I would just say because everything in the world is continuing to kind of look like it's light. It's going to be further away till life is restored to normal and what will be normal. But, you know, Broadway is officially pushed to now open like June 7th or 8th. I think it's that week, which would have been the week of when the Tony Awards were going to be.
Oh.
Which is crazy to think about. And which that also means is that Beetlejuice, which was supposed to finish out its run at the Winter Garden and then close and then was going to attempt to reopen somewhere else on Broadway, is now closed. Like, Beetlejuice is effectively closed.
That is so sad.
It is sad, especially because, I mean, it was a success story.
Yeah, it was. Like, I don't want to say unexpected, but in like, odd ways.
Well, it reminds me of when Addams Family was on Broadway and then it, like, okay, was very much torn apart by critics and it just never got the footing or any of the Tony nominations that it could have amassed that season. But although Beetlejuice did get a lot of Tony noms. And
that's right, and that was drama because some would say that it like kind of slipped in there where Be More Chill would have gotten some nominations. Mm-hmm. Beetlejuice like snuck in.
Yes.
Interesting.
And it's interesting, honestly, thinking about it now, Addams Family and Beetlejuice might have a bit of a crossover audience with like that sort of avant-garde kind of spooky type crowd. But, you know, it was making money. And you don't evict a show from a theater when it's making money. And we've talked about the eviction stuff
for months.
I mean, we talked about it with Matt Doyle. I think I remember back in December. That was like when we first talked about it. But hopefully it'll find a new theater. I really wonder what's going to happen now because many theaters might be open and a show like Beetlejuice might be able to have that built-in audience right away when Broadway comes back. But that's something that happened. And I would say, you know, we've got to keep social distancing and following what the government's telling us to do, at least what Andrew Cuomo's telling us to do.
I know.
And Fresno, Ohio, Governor Mike DeWine and Amy Acton. But and then that way we're going to be able to get things back to normal and, you know,
I hope a vaccine comes.
We need a vaccine. We need,
because I'm not
going to
feel
testing.
Like every time I leave and go somewhere, I'm never going to not be afraid of getting coronavirus, truly. And this dawned on me recently, until there's a vaccine. Like, I'm never going to, like, go to the theater and be like, oh, I could potentially catch corona tonight. Or, like, when I'm out at the club or something. You know what I mean? Like,
well, I mean, I wonder if people are going to be wearing gloves all day long now.
I think they, until there's a vaccine, I think they will be. And even after, I think this is going to be a while till we recover.
Wow. Ugh,
it makes me feel crazy.
I know.
But thank goodness we have our health.
We have our health and we have lots of things to keep us busy and entertained.
Yes, mother.
We just released our second quarantine episode with truly a hero,
Baby
Andrew
Angel
Feldman, who, he is someone who's helping raise money for BCEFA and for coronavirus efforts through this weekly Jackbox thing.
Yes.
Which we love Jackbox games. It's something that we do with our cousins on holidays.
Yeah.
And it's, he gets all the biggest stars. He had one with Smash cast members. He had all the Evan Hansens reunite and do it.
And then Mary Kill, Evan Hansen. So wait, maybe that's like a Patreon.
That's a Patreon. That's a Patreon. But so he, you know, he's doing so many things and just emerging as like this bright light through all of this. And he sent in his quarantine, which he is just so sweet and so nice. So check that out on our social media channels and also, you know, retweet.
Yeah.
Let's give it some love.
Give it love, girl. I love him.
But so like in this quarantine, we're asking former guests how they're keeping busy. And we actually kind of sent the call to action to our listeners last week to see what types of media and podcasts they're listening to.
Yes, because we're curious. Busy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we kind of think that we exist in this community of podcasts, but we don't really know if our listeners are cross-pollinating with other shows and everything.
Right, right. So
I would love to share some of the responses.
And this is, Dylan has handled this all himself and he's going to surprise me with this. So this is a cold read of this. So in lieu of a wellness check this week, this is what we're getting.
Mm-hmm. Yes, after the the huge response to the wellness check last week.
Was it?
So Allison and Danny D both listen to Seek Treatment, which is on Forever Dog, and it's an incredible comedy podcast. Adina and Molly listen to Guys Who Like Musicals, which I have heard time and time again that we kind of live in the same vein of theater podcasts as Guys Who Like Musicals.
It is similar. It is similar because they're just like chill guys talking theater with their actors, and they talk about it with pretty much their actor friends.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's similar, although they're straight.
Yes. And so we're the gay version.
And this is a drama exclusive, but we're gay. We're both gay.
Breaking news. Wait, we should talk to them about doing a crossover.
We totally should. I love them.
Guys and gays who like musicals.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my, wait, I wanna. They're gonna be like, wait, what was that?
Joe Carroll is, okay. I'm such a huge fan of his too. And he's so great. I think they would be down to do it. Adina also said she listens to Broadwasted, which I used to listen to that a lot.
Yeah, they play like fun games with their guests, drinking games and things.
It's wonder how they're doing it. I mean, I'm sure they can do it over Zoom now.
Yeah, Haley Pachoon is a regular.
Our friend of the pod, Haley Pachoon. Our dear sister, Madalinsky, says that we should listen to Hidden Brain and then also Off Book, which I looked into it. And this is a podcast, which she said we would love this, is a podcast that is like an improvised musical.
Oh, that's so fun.
I wasn't familiar with the hosts, but it looks fun. And I'm sure they have fun guests,
too. That sounds fun. Yeah. I love improv, which we need to talk about SNL, actually. But yes. That's sketch. But anyway, we'll move on.
Sydney recommends Unhappy Hour with Matt Bellassai.
Oh, okay.
Which is sort of Matt and his guests drink and they like kind of bitch about things.
He loves Harry Styles.
And I was going to say, we saw him
at the Harry Styles concert.
That was like the, what was Harry's first album called? Or what was his first
it was self-titled.
Tour called? Okay. Well, we went to Radio City and we saw Harry and we saw Matt Bellassai there.
That's right. Did we see any other celebs there? We didn't.
We didn't, but... You're confusing it with when you went to the Maggie Rogers.
That's right.
Literally every celebrity imaginable.
And everyone who's ever worked at SoulCycle on the planet. I know. That's right. I saw Ben Platt at the Maggie Rogers concert.
Yeah. Didn't you sit near him?
Yeah.
Okay. Very fun.
Yeah. Anyway.
We've had many encounters with Ben Platt that...
Patreon up.
Yeah. That's also another Patreon exclusive. And then our friend Jenna Robinson, who is amazing.
Shout out.
We listened to many of the same podcasts already. Las Culturistas, Dragcast with Nina West. And then she also said Armchair Expert with Dax Shepard is fun.
Oh, yeah. People love him.
And then... And I love his wife.
I love her.
And then Inside Trader Joe's, which is a official podcast put out by Trader Joe's.
I'm gagged.
I know. It sounds like something that we'd love because we are proud Trader Joe's shoppers in New York.
I'm a TJ whore.
Yeah, we know. Oh, I love all their desserts, like their little cupcakes, like their freshly baked chocolate chip cookies are so amazing.
They have the good black and white cookies too.
Anytime Connor and I have like a watch party for like an awards show, we take a trip to Trader Joe's that day and we like stock up on all the necessary like snacks and
I know.
Things for the week. For that, it's so fun. And then... Our dear friend Marissa Marzinski listens to The Lady Gang, The First Degree, Chicks in the Office, and Showmance.
Ooh.
All very fun. A wide variety of
Showmance
shows, too.
Showmance is Glee. That's
yes, and they also had former guest Jackie Burns on an
they
episode.
They did. Mm-hmm. Okay, they did something interesting. Season one, it was like they would have kind of like duos come on. Mm-hmm. Hypothetically, it didn't always happen. And then now season two, I guess, is they're recapping every single episode of Glee starting with season one, and they have usually they have guests on each episode.
That's gonna take a long time.
So long. I've listened to a few of them when I'm like interested in the guest. They spill tea, which we could do this a whole other conversation about Glee another time.
We should.
I feel like we've actually not really talked about Glee and its impact on our lives on this podcast, but the cast of Glee was crazy.
I mean, there was like 20 like late teens to mid, like early to mid 20s somethings, all with egos. Glee was the biggest show in the world in its first couple seasons.
Huge. They all became stars like within a matter of months. But the stories they tell about their like partying and the behind the scenes drama and like fun that they shared is honestly iconic. And it's kind of a gag to hear, you know, all these years later now, because it was so influential in my life, like the behind the scenes of my favorite episodes, specifically of season one, which I think the first 13 episodes of Glee are just magic.
Yeah, they're so good.
But anyway, interesting. That's a good podcast.
Yeah, I definitely recommend that to people as well, because I've listened to some episodes. And then our friend Alex McWhorter, better known as Squirt, recommended My Dad Wrote a Porno, which is like one of the biggest podcasts in the world.
Oh,
it's been big,
yeah.
Because I think it was one of those early ones too. And it's about a guy whose dad wrote a romance novel, an erotica novel, and
I'm listening.
Him and his friends read a chapter every
so.
I don't know if that's still the format, but you know. And then Megan Campbell Schott, our beloved high school choir teacher,
yes,
who's also
we
a huge
love.
Supporter of the podcast. She listens to Young House Love, A Beautiful Mess, and those and Stuff You Should Know, and those are all kind of like improvement and DIY type podcasts. Except Stuff You Should Know, I think that's
our
any
listeners
topic.
Are versatile.
And then Office Ladies, which is that podcast with Jenna and Andrea, who were actresses on The Office.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Not a part of culture I've ever partaken in.
We don't participate in the office culture, but you know, if that's your jam,
people love
we support
it.
You.
I know.
Just don't rewatch it 100 times because there's plenty of other things out there. So yeah, so if anyone else wants to write in and say what you listen to, that's great. I know none of these people were expecting to be shouted out to, but I just wanted to share some of the responses on here.
It's interesting because I think people thought like streaming music and podcasts would go down. And honestly, I think that people are actually starting to listen to things. The first, as quarantine goes
on, yeah.
they're diving deep in.
Definitely.
I love that.
Yeah.
A little podcast share. So Bandstand is out and people have watched it. And
yes.
I think I misspoke last week about when the cast was going to be live tweeting it. They
Whatever.
Did it this past weekend, but it was so fun. And I wanted another theater shout out. They're going to be streaming, I don't think it's Playbill, but Andrew Lloyd Webber is releasing the Sierra Bogus Ramin Karimloo. I say his name, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Phantom of the Opera. It's going to be available, I think, this weekend. You can watch
it.
Oh,
I would love to watch it.
She is the voice. She is the angel of music.
I think
iconic
I think
angel of music.
Angel of music. The first bit of copy that I ever wrote for 54 Below, Connor helped me collaborate on it, and it was a tweet about Sierra Bogus, and it began with angel of music or something like that.
So sad. oh my God.
So funny. She's great. I think Andrew Lloyd Webber has also even gone on the record and said that she's like the requisite Christine to him, and she's like his favorite. Understandably, she's insanely talented.
Insanely. I would love to have her on drama.
Yeah, she's been on our list for a long time, and she's so cool. She's like a really like hip and chill person as
so
well.
So hippy dippy. I live.
So speaking of things that we have been partaking in to keep busy, we also watched the live streamed concert from 54 Below of the reunion of the Search for Elle Woods MTV series, which was when back in the summer of 2008, I believe it was, MTV and collaborated with the producers of Legally Blonde, the musical, to go on a nationwide search to find who would replace Laura Bell Bundy. And this was the perfect pairing because in 2007, they had aired and they'd filmed and aired Legally Blonde, the musical, which I would not be surprised if that was a Ring of Keys moment for a lot of people, maybe even a little bit younger than us. But I mean, it certainly was something that put Broadway into like the national conversation in a way.
You're so right. And I think I've mentioned this on drama before, but Legally Blonde is in my top 5 favorite musicals.
Yes, you talked about it with Nick Rullo.
With Nick Rullo, that's right. I just think it's got it all. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. It's so empowering. It's super fun. I think makes... I probably said it this, but it stands on its own in relation to the movie as equally iconic,
oh,
I think.
Yes. What's the thing about adaptations is if a movie is that much in the zeitgeist, which I think that like Mean Girls is another example and honestly a different case study, when you're watching the musical version, you're either waiting for all of the best and iconic moments from the movie, or you're hoping it's just something a little bit different. And I think that Legally Blonde tackled that, or it went on that line perfectly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's so good. And the cast was just perfect. And Laura Bell Bundy is a superstar. And
yes.
So when... Remember the Girls from the Hills hosted Legally
Blonde? I vaguely
Blonde?
Remember that. Yeah.
They were on it, and they hosted the airing, but they were backstage being plain, TBH. But
oh, yeah.
And so then, you're right, it was the perfect marriage for them to be like, all right, we'll air this reality show on MTV, which I can't remember if the Grease reality show had happened yet.
It did.
Yeah. So maybe they were inspired by that, but that was a competition show that was week to week. This was like all filmed in advance.
Yeah.
And they assembled this iconic cast of women who are heroes.
Oh yes. Gay icons.
We were obsessed.
And what's cool is the majority of them did the reunion concert, but the ones who didn't do it, all 10 of the main cast, the finalists, and the judges reunited on a Zoom call.
Yes.
With our friend Jen Sandler, who produced the concert,
reunion concert,
and then also comedian Tim Murray, who's an Ohioan
as
well. And they hosted this reunion conversation, and it was so fun. We watched, I mean, it was long. The 54 concert was 90 minutes and it started at 6:30. And then this Zoom call went until like 10:30.
We watched every second of it.
It was just like, I mean, we cozy were doing, like, other things fun, too. Just hanging out and doing it.
It was so fun.
Everyone was there, including controversial
winner Bailey Hanks, mm-hmm. who honestly, in real time, made this like confessional
yes.
apology, guilt, shedding of guilt
yeah.
to the other girls about like feeling guilty about winning. And she was 20 years old when she won.
Which is insane looking back.
Insane. And she was like, she made her Broadway debut. I think it was a Wednesday matinee. I'll never forget this.
It was something like
and
that.
And she really worked it out.
Well, you know what I'll say is that she had fallen out of favor with me because mm-hmm. like a few years after, because she only did Legally Blonde for like 4 months and then like down the road.
It closed.
Yes. And then she ultimately did like a tour or a regional production of it or something like that.
Oh.
And she, you know, there was Chick-fil-A gate where she publicly was posting social media a picture of her eating Chick-fil-A or enjoying it. And this was right around the time or right after it was like revealed that Chick-fil-A donates money to anti-LGBT organizations, which is disgusting and insane. And please don't go to Chick-fil-A if anyone who's listening.
Because they still do.
They still do. And everyone's like, they changed. But no, they actually didn't. And
but also low-key, like every corporation probably donates to like horrible organizations.
True.
But anyway, that's all to say.
And so she kind of like became like a joke in the Broadway community of like, oh, uh-huh. the Bailey Hanks of this or don't do that. She ultimately left the business, is a hairdresser now. I mean, she's snatched and gorgeous.
Wait, and she named her daughter Elle.
Elle.
Iconic.
I
cracked?
Think her name is actually something longer and Elle is like a nickname.
Is it cracked?
It's cracked.
I mean, fun. But seeing all the girls on there was just so fun.
Oh, yeah.
I mean Lauren Zachrin, Rhiannon.
Rhiannon Hansen, who we really pushed for. Like, we loved her.
We were stans.
I think she embodied that spirit, and she ultimately played Margot on the tour. It was so much fun. And it just reminded me, like, that TV show was certainly, like... It was appointment viewing for us. We were in... Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat that summer. And we would, mm-hmm. when we'd get home from summer theater rehearsals, we would immediately gather around our TV and with our prehistoric DVR, and we would watch whatever the episode was. And we'd watch the episode from the week before. I mean, it was so good. Emma Zax.
Yes, who's now a senior master instructor at SoulCycle. Mm-hmm.
She was iconic on the live stream too, like getting drunker and drunker as the night was going on. I mean, I'll never forget. I wouldn't call her a villain on the show by any means, but she certainly had like one of the most dramatic and spiteful exits.
Yes.
Was when she basically cursed Bailey and Rhiannon as being little girls.
She was like, "And Bailey and Lauren and Rhiannon are little girls." It was iconic. Which now we know from the Zoom, they all kind of revealed that the producers twisted everything.
And it was very heavily
took everything out of context.
It.
But it was still so iconic. And her storyline was that like she had just quit smoking 2 weeks before and then had bronchitis. Mm-hmm. And then I remember there was this iconic moment where... Maybe it's not as iconic as I think it is, because I don't know the exact detail, where they asked her to do something and she was like, "I'm not feeling well. Like, if I was on Broadway tonight, I would call in my understudy."
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's like, "I have bronchitis." It was so
And we
so
still quote
legendary.
That to this day. We'll say to each other, "I wish I could call in my understudy right now." We'll say those things in our common speak. It's great. It was so fun. I'm sure that many listeners also watched that show.
Oh, yeah. And also, I realized Autumn is an icon.
Justice for Autumn Hurlburt.
She should have won the show. Honestly, and
she should have.
She's just so talented. It sounds like she was the mom of the group.
100%. I mean, she had that iconic moment where they wanted everyone to criticize the girls and say who is the worst dancer, who's got the least Broadway bound body or whatever. And Autumn took the whole situation into her own hands and did what in the spirit of Elle Woods. And they made them all positives of like most improved dancer, most improved everything. I will say we saw Autumn in the national tour of Something Rotten in Cleveland. She played the Kate Reinders role.
Yes. Who's Miss Jen on High School Musical,
series. And Autumn was phenomenal. And she has the comedy. And the whole time I kept thinking, God, like you have a Laura Bell Bundy quality of you. You could have and should have been Elle. I think she has done Elle at some point, too.
I think she revealed that. Oh, my God. I loved that show. We should rewatch the reality show now.
That'd be fun. I also think, you know, what type of reality show could happen in today's world where they would cast somebody? I think the closest...
Oh, because it would have to be
something... Like, if they were to do a show today...
It would have to be something with a built-in audience like Grease or Legally Blonde did.
Right.
Because of the movies. Now, that's fun.
The first one... First of all, listeners, send in what your ideas would be for what reality show should cast someone. I mean, because I saw this funny tweet where someone was like, "Wow, well, we're going to need to bring people in to come to Broadway, so we might as well start stunt casting everything." The only thing I could think of is... a Mean Girls type situation, because that has a huge audience.
Yeah. Who would we want to see? Like, probably Regina.
Regina, mm. I mean, yeah.
Katie? I guess it'd be...
Yeah, they have Sabrina Carpenter in there now. I wonder what's going to happen with a lot of those contracts.
I was actually thinking about that, too, because mm-hmm. hypothetically, like, even for, like, Moulin Rouge, hypothetically, I'm sure most of them are on a year contract.
Right.
And we'll see if Broadway comes back in July.
Yeah.
But I don't know what's going to happen.
I'm my mind is all over the place right now while I think about what other kind of reality shows could be out there. Please send us in your different ideas. What movies
are being turned into musicals even?
Well, Mrs. Doubtfire was supposed to open.
Okay. I don't know if that has like the youthful audience that like something like Search for the Next Elle Woods has. I don't know.
They could have done like something Kinky Boots related. Well, I don't even know if that has the impact and appeal. I don't know.
They could do it for Dear Evan. Maybe Dear Evan Hansen.
Yeah. Certainly, like casting another Evan. Or...
Maybe. We know who's probably going to play Evan. But
yeah.
I don't know. That's so fun. We'll have to think about it and like come up with something good. I guess our brains are broken in Quar. Speaking of contracts ending and awards, is this what you were thinking?
Yeah.
What is going to happen with the Tonys?
I don't know. My friend Elizabeth texted me and she said that if the Tonys do what the Drama Desk Awards did and they just cut off the eligibility deadline for March 11th, that would mean there's only one original score from a musical that would be nominated.
Which one?
And that's The Lightning Thief.
Oh my God.
I know, which I don't think is necessarily like the flashy score because it's a closed production that anyone would have thought. But it also reminded me that there have been cases in the last couple of years where plays that have had scores can get nominated too.
Oh, like Harry Potter.
Like Harry Potter. This is obviously like not the best case scenario, but like The Inheritance had gorgeous music in it. I don't know how much of that was original. I think that could get nominated. You know, I know Betrayal used music in it.
It did.
I can't really think of any off the top of my head right now, but I think that would be a solution to it. As far as the other new musicals that would be nominated, at this point, it would be Tina, Moulin Rouge, Jagged Little Pill, and, gosh, those are the only ones that are even coming to mind.
We're like, forget it.
Girl from the North Country.
Opened like right before. Mm-hmm.
Six was supposed to open the night Broadway closed down. And that would have been your original score. And I think it's also is still the favorite to win. Here's the thing. I do not think
this
season should just be grouped into next season for a ginormous Tonys.
I hear you, but what is going to actually open in the next year, understanding that Broadway audiences might not be as overly, you know, as bustling as possible? Like, what's going to take the risk to open in the midst of coronavirus, of like a nation recovering, of a city
movie
recovering?
Adaptations.
Movies.
So like Sing Street.
Doubtfire.
I also think, you know, you have those plays which were with MTC and Roundabout that just pushed a year.
True.
So I think that you're going to certainly have those things. I mean, like with that, you already have enough things to fill nominations. I just think that like this season is over now.
Yeah, it is.
And so I don't think grouping it in, and then like it really puts shows at a disadvantage that opened in 2019 because they're going to be so far from memory.
Oh, so far.
And like we have enough things and categories to be filled with at this point.
I mean, I think if the Tonys were to happen, like if they cut it off for March, mm-hmm. I think as we're huge proponents of Aaron Tveit for Best Leading Actor.
You said it, not me.
Because I think, well, I mean, he's your guy, but I think he's the choice because he did turn out a great performance.
Yeah.
But I think featured actor would go to Danny Burstein.
Who wrote the most beautiful and compelling letter about his struggle with coronavirus.
I was shaking and crying reading it.
I know, it was gorgeous.
Incredible.
And we'll reshare it on the drama pages if anyone wants to read it.
Really?
Yeah, we will.
Speaking of awards. Okay, I know.
Today we did get the Lucille Lortel Award nominations came out, and I just wanted to call out a couple of...
Come on, Lucille.
So these are the awards that recognize excellence in the off-Broadway productions. 41 shows were eligible to be nominated.
Okay.
We saw many of like the ones that ended up being nominated, which I feel like we really reinvested in like seeing off-Broadway theater this last year.
I love off-Broadway.
Me too.
And so I love it.
So many times.
We never went to see off-Broadway shows when we would go with our family on our like iconic family trips to New York.
Right.
But there are iconic performances, incredible shows that like maybe don't have the budget or the audience to make it to Broadway that are so great.
Yeah.
Like and specifically performances, like maybe list some off and I'll
think. The splashiest show that was nominated was Little Shop of Horrors, which received a bunch of nominations, and like for Jonathan Groff and Christian Borle, some of our perennial favorites.
Wasn't Ari Groover nominated for
feature? She was nominated, yeah, for feature.
Did they call it featured or supporting? I don't even know.
Little Shop got 4 nominations. The most nominations were 7 for A Strange Loop, which we loved.
Oh, that was last summer, wasn't it?
Yeah, last summer.
Oh,
and wait, also
there was a celeb there when we saw it, Jane Krakowski.
Yes. Oh, yes. We saw her in the lobby. We loved that show. Larry Owens was nominated. The director, Stephen Brackett, was nominated. It was just a brilliant show. I honestly think that it will win many of these awards. And then the play that was nominated the most was Heroes of the Fourth Turning,
which we didn't see.
We didn't, but we discussed it at length with Heath Saunders.
Did that make the cut of the episode? Or
who even knows at this point?
I forget.
But some other of our faves who were nominated. Obviously, I mentioned Jonathan Groff and Larry Owens, but Joshua Henry was nominated for The Wrong Man, which polarizing show. We loved it. We had so much fun with it. It was like one of those breezy, like 90-minute musical adapt. It was like a concept album turned musical.
You know what I loved about that was Travis Wall's choreography,
which was nominated.
But that's not the only thing I love about Travis Wall.
No, I mean, we love Travis Wall.
I mean, come on, is he my quarantine crush?
I think he's
this
your
week?
Quarantine crush. His choreography was nominated.
I think he did the handstand shirt challenge.
Oh, probably. And then
body's right.
Obviously, Sierra Renee was nominated
Legend.
As well. Current Elsa. And then our pal J. Armstrong Johnson was nominated for Scotland, PA.
Now, that was an iconic performance. Mm-hmm. Memorable.
Yeah.
And he just transforms.
Yeah, he's
Joaquin
so versatile.
Phoenix, who?
He's so good. And I can't wait to have him on the podcast.
Which we will. Mm-hmm,
eventually. And so, and there's just, you know, the whole list, all the nominations were great. My biggest observation about the nominations, which the ceremony is going to be on May 3rd.
And it's obviously virtual.
Online. And there's going to be a host or somebody like that to be announced. I know that like Laura Benanti has done it in the past or something. Aww. It'll be someone fun. I mean, I think everyone's available. I noticed that among all of the nominations, most of the shows are, how do I put this, more serious in tone.
Mm.
Everything nominated was more of a dramatic play or a dramatic revival. Even the musicals with the, you know, of the new musicals, which were A Strange Loop, In the Green, Octet, Soft Power, and The Secret Life of Bees. I mean, I don't think any of those are feel-good stories.
No. I mean, A Strange Loop had its funny moments, but...
So, you know, is this where we're at right now? Are people focusing on this more direct contemplative art as opposed to like, you know, Emoji Land was nominated for 1 award,
which people loved Emoji Land.
Loved it. And the album was made and everything.
I'm so sad I didn't see it.
Yeah. Another one of those situations. So, you know, is this what we're going to see in this new era of theater coming forward? Or are people going to want to see more serious things? I mean, I know for me, I couldn't read any serious books. I needed to read funny memoirs, and I find myself wanting to watch comedies. And
I know last night you were literally like typing in comedy into every like search we have on Apple TV. I know. I think people are going to want to see things that make them feel good, their favorite things like Wicked. And I think they're going to want to see things that are light and optimistic about the world.
Yeah,
I do.
It's like when post 9/11 happened, Hairspray and Mamma Mia were 2 of the big shows.
Oh, no surprise.
So who knows? Who knows what we'll see? Let's start to wrap things up.
Is it time already?
It's time. The sun is beginning to set. Let's talk about what our dose of drama might be for the week.
Ooh.
I do have one.
Okay, spill, because I need to think about mine first. Oh, I have one too. I'll do mine first.
Okay, great.
It's Lucille Lortel nominated.
Oh, okay.
This is like fun. This is drama.
Okay.
A former like love connection, possible lover of
You're
mine.
You're so vague.
I don't know how to say this like without sounding like an idiot, was nominated for an award. I'm not going to say who.
Okay.
It is a man.
Okay. I know who.
That's my dose of trauma.
You guys exchanged numbers and talked about the possibility.
Okay, but there was lots of flirting and like all this stuff. That's my drama. And I'm thinking, what could have been? What could have been with us?
You should reconnect with him.
I should. We did
love in the time of quarantine.
Love in the time. Yeah. Oh my God. Wig.
My,
anyway, he's so great. I didn't see him in the show though, but he deserves. That's my drama.
I love that.
Juicy.
My drama is like legit drama was that there's the Disney on Broadway BCEFA concert that happened. It was the celebrating 25 years of magical Disney on Broadway. And it was supposed to happen this past Monday night. And then the Musicians Union said no. You would need to compensate our musicians. And then the Broadway musicians who were participated in it. And there were 79 musicians involved. I'm so sorry. There were 79 performers and 15 people in the orchestra.
Okay.
All said, hey, we're donating this. This is like a fundraiser. Like, we want to raise money. And then the union eventually, you know, reversed their decision, and it's now going to be aired on April 17th. So my drama is that they were literally going to withhold this concert from us. And like, everyone is streaming their concerts. Everyone is putting out content, and the musicians union was really going to be stingy like that. And they're like that though. That's something for another time.
Wait, okay, more drama. This is another Drag Race take. Jan deserved to win.
Oh yeah.
The Madonna Rusical episode this past week.
Yes.
Which we are like Jan stands. I mean, I freaking love Gigi Good, but she was Madonna, but
if you listen back, Gigi's vocals weren't good.
Okay.
And Jan's were.
Oh yeah. Unbelievable.
I have her line stuck in my head.
Sing it, girl.
No. I'm shy.
Oh my god. Dylan's shy today.
I'm feeling fine. So all right. Listen back and make sure that you send in any of your podcasts, any of your ideas for what a reality show to cast a Broadway star would be.
And here's the call of action, and we will post about this on our Twitter and Insta. But in the next week, tweet us, slide into our DMs, email us, and let us know, what questions do you have for us related to theater, pop culture, love, and life? Because we want to just like spice it up a little bit. Like,
absolutely.
Any questions you have, it could be about our personal lives. It could be about former episodes we've done.
Yeah.
Future things, what we think about, pieces of content. Like, we're literally here. We're just chatting.
Yes. We want to make sure we're delivering the best drama we can. We also have an email address. Very fun. Very like Britney Spears. People are really into emailing right now.
Everyone's been doing emails.
And it's at thedramapodcast@gmail.com.
Yes. And follow me at Connor McDowell.
Me at Dylan McDowell. And also, if you haven't given us a 5-star rating, please do.
You have the time,
also,
y'all.
Also, give us like a little review. We haven't gotten a review since the beginning of March, and it truly tickles us to see when we get reviews in there.
Yes.
Or if you want to just send us some private thoughts, do it at that email or anything like that.
Anything.
We're here. We're working hard to try and make sure that when we come back and when Broadway comes back, we are going to have the best version of drama for everyone.
Yes, this is a theater-heavy episode.
You know I don't hate that.
I know you don't.
And oddly, A Star is Born. But like,
meanwhile, I give everyone A Star is Born discourse a year later.
Whatever. People can rewatch it now in this time. All right, Connor, well, I guess we'll just see you next time.
Drama!